This is the Day Zero Update for January 22nd, 2017. I'm Philippe Organolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Chris Sologi.
And have you gotten over your Nintendo Switch launch lineup hangover yet?
No, there really wasn't one.
Yeah, probably not. But yeah, we got more Switch bitch to talk about today. I may have just made that.
That's going to be a thing on here.
Yeah.
I think that's just going to be a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, probably up until the Switch itself actually launches. We'll talk more about that later, because there's some interesting stuff to say with regards to Fire Emblem, at the very least. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so we got that.
I am pleased with that.
Mostly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, before we get into that, we'll probably catch up on what we're doing, since we didn't do that last week. Felt like last year, but
hey. Yeah.
Yeah, last week for time considerations, we skipped that segment, but might as well get back to it this week. So I'll start us off with Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls Ultimate Evil Edition on the Xbox One, which continues to be awesome. I just think it is the most perfected and evolved form of that type of game, and it just works for me, so I love it. Yeah, I'm going to continue to play that up until we get to the next one of the stories we're going to be talking about later. So, that's been my week, and other than that, a little bit of Axiom Verge, because, well, you can never go wrong with
that.
It's
never the wrong time for Axiom Verge.
No. So, how about you, Pat?
Well, I've been still playing Yakuza 0 Toward the Review. Been feasting on Heaven's Ward because of the 3.5 patch that just came out. Finished the story for that. Was really good. Really worthy of, Final Fantasy Tactics at the end there. Street Fighter V, which has returned to my day-to-day, week-to-week gaming practice as I continue to adjust to Mania and Geef, which has been a lot of fun. And then NHL 17 I'm back to, just because it's the right time of year, and there are just so many different ways to enjoy that game that you never really get bored of it.
Yeah.
But right now I'm focused on the Be a GM mode, which is kind of how I'm working out my frustration with how the actual season is going. just trying to restore the Colorado Avalanche to a point of relevance, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
It's also nice because the Be a GM mode is almost tantamount to just sitting down and watching a bunch of hockey games all at once, and that there's never anything wrong with that. So,
mm-hmm.
It's been fun. Mm. Mm. How about you, Brandon?
Recently I've been playing Witcher 3. I got the complete edition for PS4, which of course comes with all the DLC and both of the expansion packs.
Yeah.
You get all that stuff as soon as you install it. Of course, it's Witcher 3. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Got so many things to entertain you. And, other than that, I've been playing Bravely Default, on my 3DS. More on that later, but yeah, Bravely Default, basically, imagine an old school like Final Fantasy 3 or 4, but with more modern graphics and a more robust job system.
Yeah.
That's what I've been doing, so what about you, Chris?
So I just got Gravity Rush 2 last night. I haven't really delved into it too much, about an hour or so into it. But so far, it's been pretty good. The controls are pretty good. The camera's not great at keeping up with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because for those that don't know Gravity Rush, it's sort of a game, it's all about defying gravity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're flying around in gravity, and the camera can get a little lost as you're just changing paths around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping there's a sort of reset button on the camera, but if not, it's not really a huge deal so far. There's a lot of gyroscopic controls.
Hmm.
Sorry. Yeah, gyroscopic controls on the using the DualShock 4's gyroscope stuff.
Hmm.
And makes it pretty easy to sort of do some more finer movements when I'm trying to do some like gravity kicks on enemies and such. But so far I'm still not even in the main town yet. I'm in this sort of beginning area where essentially Kat has sort of fallen away from her town and her friends,
mm-hmm.
and has landed in this new place where she's essentially working with miners, as if people that mine ore, not kids.
There's a big distinction there.
Yeah. And essentially she just got her abilities back from the Galactic Cat Dusty, which still looks like a really great cat, because it's kind of like the old cartoon thing where there's just this pattern inside of a like a person or clothing or whatever, and that just continues instead of being actually like drawn onto the specific object.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what Dusty is. It's like just stars. As the cat moves around, it just moves with it. Just a really weird thing. Yeah, so far that's been pretty good. The other game I've been playing is the Van Helsing Death Trap game that is the one of the free Games with Gold games for Xbox One, which is a tower defense game mixed with Diablo.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's not as good as that sounds. The tower defense stuff so far in the first few levels I've played, it's a lot of just hot spots, even though much of the levels are gridded areas. Mm. It's only like certain spots on them. But sort of they show you ahead before you start the waves, they show you like, here's the direction they're going. So you can put your towers down along that path. And so far it's only been 3 waves for the first few levels. I'm imagining it mentions things like survive 10 or 20 waves. I think there's like an endless mode. So I think it's building up, but it's building up slowly.
Yeah.
And the Diablo part is that you are an actual character. There's 3 so far. There's like a warrior for melee. There's a range archer and a wizard.
Mm.
And you can go fight the enemies as they're coming along, both to sort of slow them down because they will sort of notice you and sort of start to attack you. So you can, I've taken down some of the bigger enemies just by getting their attention over a fire pit trap that I've set up.
Mm.
Another interesting thing they've just introduced is the idea of kind of like a MOBA-style jungle that's off the beaten path, where there's sort of a special, like it's not really a chest, you beat these enemies and they drop like a key.
Yeah.
Which means at the end of the level, instead of just the one chest loot item that you get at the end of for beating levels, you get up to like 2 or 3 more.
Hmm.
And so far that stuff's not really doing anything really crazy. It's just me right now just kind of trying to upgrade from the basic gear, which I'm getting enough currency from beating the levels. Just from the way they do that stuff, it's 3 stars, so they have like the mobile style rating system. And it's based on the difficulty. So if you play the easy one first, you can get up to 1 star. Medium is 2, and if you go on hard, it's all 3. And I think at hard, it's everybody is going at full strength and HP.
Yeah.
So like they just change the strength and HP for each level. Yeah, and I've been kind of just playing it, just playing the easy, then the medium, then the harder one, because it's more XP if you just go that way.
Yeah.
Just kind of like doing some grinding along the way. The UI's not great for the inventory stuff. I accidentally sold my helmet from the inventory. There's like the concept of a stash, like a universal stash between characters.
Yeah.
I thought I was moving it to there. Instead, I sold it. But I had enough currency, I could just buy a way better one. I say, well, screw trying to get this loot. I just went to the store and just bought better stuff where it was available.
Yeah.
So it seemed like that just overrides the need for loot, even. Which I'm not really sure what the point of that is.
Yeah.
And I guess they're going to have a big update coming out this week sometime that adds minions, which just add like a bonus stat. Like, oh, you get 10% more damage when health is below 50% or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like that sort of stuff. Not really much in the way of an extra attacker, which is a little bit disappointing. And I guess if you've played the other Van Helsing games that the team has made, you get like a special extra card. Like it's all in the form of cards.
Okay.
Which is also weird. Yeah, it's a very weird game. It's not really all that good. It's good that it's free. Because I would not have paid for this either way.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather just see them do more of their Diablo stuff.
Yeah. It kind of sounds like a less good version of Dungeon Defenders.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all handled like a third-person action game. Yeah. This is more top-down.
Top-down.
Which is still weird.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I might play a little bit more of that, just see if it starts to open up a little bit, because right now it seems like it's on easy mode.
Yeah.
Even beyond just playing the easy mode itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not really much on the tower defense this generation, really.
Mm.
Outside of, what's the game that you obsess about, Phil?
Oh, Defense Grid? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's where I was going to go with that. Maybe they figured that they don't need to do anymore. Yeah. You know, there's nothing left to accomplish.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There's no reason to insist on making more tower defense games.
Yeah. Well, I got a weird email from Hidden Path the other day saying that, they've just launched a Kickstarter for Defense Grid, the board game.
Yeah, which is an interesting thing to be doing.
Yeah. I'm not.
That's a lot of. It comes with like 80 some pieces, I think.
Yeah, it's a big set.
It's like, yeah, that's the one downside to a tower defense board game is there's got to be a lot of towers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I don't know that I'm going to be able to play it the way I do the game, where it's just like, build all the towers, fill up all the spots.
Yeah, you just run out of pieces. Yeah. But yeah, I don't think I'm going to be back in that one, but just because I'm not really a board game person, but it's a cool idea.
Yeah. It would be interesting if they somehow figured a way to bring that back into the game.
Yeah.
It's like a weird board game mode.
Yeah.
Where it's like a turn-based mode, essentially.
Yeah. Well, it does show that there's signs of life over there, so hopefully there's going to be some updates coming. So.
Yeah, and that's it.
All right. Okay, so we would like to keep going, moving on here with, like to welcome back Swery to the gaming development industry.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just, after about a year and a half of hiatus, he's back with his own studio again called White Owls.
Yep, in Osaka, they have their own site up already, which seems to suggest they're pretty busy. They've got a game in development. No real information on that, but he also posts that he's a guest creator on a game called Peter Panic Act 2,
mm-hmm.
a mobile game with Adult Swims. Adult Swim published.
Oh, okay.
So they brought in a bunch of people to make like little silly stories to put in that game, so he's one of them. Also mentions a VR project with
Oh, God, him doing a VR project. Yeah.
with a group called VR Media Research Project.
Hmm.
And I think he's partnered with another developer on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for Chrome to auto-translate this. Let's see. Where's it at? And this group has, like, Facebook pictures of them putting the goggles on a tissue box. So they seem to be very Japanese.
Yeah.
He's working with the students and a group called, I forget what they're called. Let's see if it shows up here. There we go. Galaxy of Teller.
Hmm. Never heard of them.
Another indie developer in Japan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that seems like an interesting project.
Hmm.
And he's just got videos embedded from the group. Yeah. So if you want to watch some of the weird stuff they're doing. Hmm. He also mentions he's writing a book called I Am Not a Cat. It's the working title right now.
Hmm.
Yeah, that sounds like something he would do.
Yeah. And it seems like what he would have done while he was taking his break.
Mm.
So yeah. Trying other things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he mentions also that he was part of the Men of Game Development calendar for 2017.
Mm.
So he has pictures of... He had like a tattoo artist do some paint tattoos on him.
Mm.
Which is like a full Yakuza-style back tattoo.
Hmm.
That features the stuffed monkey that he carries around with him. Definitely recommend. One of the pictures is called Don't Just Look at My Butt.
Yeah,
he used these pictures on his Giant Bomb top 10 list.
Hmm.
And I was like, that's some really awesome art.
Yeah.
So, and he goes all the way with this stuff, which is seems to be his MO.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to have people like that in the game industry. It's just...
Yep.
Yeah.
They're
even a stuffed monkey.
And a stuffed monkey, which...
Named Sharapova.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad guys like him are still around, because guys like him are kind of a dying breed in the Japanese gaming world.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah,
I don't see too much personality in the Japanese industry.
Yeah, it's because, you know, entities like Konami don't like that.
Yeah.
So moving on, we've talked a little bit about the lawsuit between ZeniMax and Oculus. We got a bit more information on that today. It's happening.
Rest assured, it is getting ugly.
Yeah, it's getting ugly. ZeniMax is pretty confident that they could show that Facebook and Oculus stole technology and blah, blah, blah. Then we have Mark Zuckerberg, who gave his testimony, which really didn't amount to a hell of a lot.
I found out through this that Trump's brother is on the board of ZeniMax.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, we can't.
Shocking.
Along with Cal Ripken Jr. and
Gary Blackmore.
Yeah.
Hmm. It's like...
Like, it's crazy for that group of people. Nobody knows who the hell that company is.
It's a big...
Other than Bethesda.
Yeah. So, it's weird. But yeah, my main point of contention is, if ZeniMax had all of this technology, where's their headset?
Exactly.
They say it went with Carmack.
Mm.
Well, I don't buy that.
No likely story.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think their point is that Carmack worked on it while he was a member of Bethesda, that somehow they own that as well.
Some money will change hands, and this will just probably just end up going away.
The world will keep turning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect, Facebook will just probably end up buying ZeniMax.
Mm.
Because they could.
Yeah.
there goes the problem.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So far, these statements are kind of like the legal version of, no, fuck you.
Yeah, it's kind of like a pissing contest, isn't it? But yeah, but that's kind of how, these legal battles tend to go, so not a whole lot there. And speaking of not a whole lot there, Gabe Duhl did on Reddit AMA with surprisingly little substance.
Yeah.
It kind of basically amounted to, we're kind of listening, and we're going to do the same things we keep doing.
Yeah, when people asked about Half-Life 3, he said the number 3 must not be said.
Yeah, I think that's actually, like, I think that may be a ward against Valve or something, because they can't get to 3 ever.
No.
Left 4 Dead 2, Half-Life 2, Half-Life 2 Episode 2, Portal 2, Dota 2. They just can't get to 3 on anything.
No.
So, yeah.
Yeah, they talked about, people asked about their well-known silence stance on giving updates on most things.
Yeah.
And he basically said, we're all pretty devoted to reading and listening to the community. When it comes time to respond, we generally use Steam, shipping updates that address issues or add functionality. That's yeah. basically how they've been doing it. Just
yeah.
Don't waste time talking to people and promising things, just working on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, heaven forbid that you would actually tell people that you've acknowledged what they're saying. You know.
Yeah.
You could from do what that I've, when you update it, sure. But
yeah. Well, from what I've been told, one of the reasons that they're so secretive about a lot of their projects is because I don't think a lot of people remember this, but before Half-Life 2 was officially released, a hacker actually got a hold of it.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And ended up releasing it to the world early.
Yeah.
He Gabe didn't like that.
No.
Hmm. Yeah.
So they've been notoriously guarded ever since.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I bet we're going to find out about Half-Life 3 the day that it comes out.
Probably.
I actually would not be surprised if they just up and release it on Steam Stealth one morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. I think here they were talking about people asked him what his favorite Valve game was.
Yeah.
He said it was Portal 2.
Yeah. Well, I could agree with that.
Yeah. He says it's difficult for him to love the Half-Life games because he actually worked on them.
Mm.
So he can only see the flaws instead of the virtues.
Yeah.
I can understand that.
Yeah. It's a fair point. You're always more critical of your own work.
I only work on things as simple as RPG Maker projects, and even then I'm just constantly nitpicking about things that could be better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can only imagine what it must be like with something of the scale of Half-Life.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it talked about flash sales. We found that really short discounts make it difficult for many people to participate. If you remember...
I figured that was the idea.
Yeah. If you remember the Portal film that J.J. Abrams is supposed to be working on, he said, yep, they're coming.
Yeah, they're still in the works.
Yep.
Talking
about the quality control.
Hmm.
As far as how they're curating games for the service, says there's really not a singular definition of quality. What we've seen is that many different games appeal to different people. We know we still have more work to do in filtering those games so the right games show up to the right customers.
We have another story later on that will kind of give lie to that.
So. And let's see. When asked to give advice to young designers, important thing is to get into an iteration cycle where you can measure the impact of your work, have a hypothesis about how making changes will affect those variables, and ship changes regularly. It doesn't even matter that much what the content is. It's the iteration of hypothesis, changes, and measurement that will make you better at a faster rate than anything else we have seen. It seems like pretty good just to like get your stuff out there and iterate on it as much as you can.
Yeah, which is what a lot of these devs are doing, unfortunately.
Yeah, especially with early access.
Yeah.
Asked about what Valve is working on right now. Some of us are thinking about some of the AI work that is being hyped right now. So all the Google and Alexa stuff.
Yeah.
What he's working on right now. Personally, I'm looking at research in brain-computer interfaces.
That's pretty big stuff, but, you know.
Yeah.
Gabe is not one to shoot small.
Nope.
Oh.
So there are a few interesting things in there, but
kind of what you already assumed or knew about him.
Yeah.
And the Valve as well.
Yeah. Yeah, the development process at Valve is very fluid from what I've heard.
Yeah.
So people just kind of can jump on one project and then just wander off, do something else. So.
And those that leave get hounded by Half-Life fans wanting to know more about Half-Life 3.
Yeah.
Oh, that has to be a special kind of hell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just going to swap these two stories here because it kind of leads into what we're talking about. A Steam developer released a game called Art of Stealth. And he was caught forging positive reviews for his game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just made alternate accounts.
So the
guy we're talking about, his name is Matten Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, before all this went down, he became infamous for basically lashing out at Jim Sterling after Sterling basically reviewed his game on his channel and called it garbage.
Huge surprise that he would be involved in this.
Yeah, and then he tried to have a DMCA takedown notice.
Yeah. And sent him legal threats.
Sterling roasted him again.
Yeah. So.
They don't seem to learn that. Don't shoot the messenger.
Yeah.
What kind of snit do you think he's going to get into over this?
Oh, it's. He'll probably. Yeah. Be very upset. Just. Yeah. The trouble is, you know, in this article I was reading, it's like. He was commenting that maybe people like Jim Sterling don't appreciate what it's like for software engineers who've like spent 5 years in a university learning how to do what they do. At some point, after you get out of university, you're going into the real world. And in the real world, if you want positive reviews, you have to release something that isn't shit.
Yeah.
Yep. That's how I don't know that he's necessarily criticizing the developers as people.
No. He's
criticizing the work.
Yeah, that's what he does. It doesn't,
yeah.
So they take it as personal criticism when they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Jim Sterling just sort of attracts people like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, thousands of games on Steam, and he finds the right people to push their buttons.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the games that that he plays are usually recommended to him by people on Twitter who go through them because they're just too many.
So they hate him?
Well, I don't know. His fans maybe hate him.
Well, no, he's done games on Steam that were really good, and he said he liked them. So, yeah. I mean...
Yeah, he does a series called Greenlight Good Stuff, where he shows all the good stuff that's coming. So, it's not that there's no... You know, it's not like he looks for the bad stuff. It's just that there's just so much of it.
You know, and for the record, I mean, one of the people who he ended up criticizing for their game, and then they ended up putting out something really popular, was Matt Cawthon. Or Scott Cawthon, that's his name.
Yeah.
Because everybody, I don't know if anybody remembers, you know, before he put out Five Nights at Freddy's, he had this other game that he put out that was, it wasn't that good.
Hmm.
And the thing is, everyone talked about how the one thing that was so unnerving about it was the really creepy sort of animatronic style animation he used for all the characters.
Yeah.
He played up to that.
Yeah, he played up to that, and he turned around and basically created a million-dollar franchise.
Yeah. So.
Oh, I guess there's a comment here. From their Steam page, their Steam forums. Somebody's warning him not to try to delete Jim's videos, because they're already laughing about it, as well as the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And how bad of an idea that is. His comment, "We will laugh harder when his lazy excuse of a review will be removed from the internet. Jim's video is abusive, misleading, copyright infringed, illegal, and uncalled for. The so far successful blogger has effectively killed his own career with his reckless behavior. Our game is far from killed. It sold many copies and will continue to sell more."
No, well, oh, not anymore, not dumbass. Anymore. So, yeah. So not only
and Jim
is this
here
guy,
says,
not only does yeah, this Jim guy take put, it personally, but he's also delusional.
Yeah. And for the record, Jim actually has the thing he put up on, I think it was either Twitter or Facebook, with that screenshot, and he says, according to the geniuses behind Art of Stealth, my illegal, quote-unquote, coverage of their game is about to end my career. I remain skeptical.
And
so, the end of all this is that their game is no longer on Steam.
Because they themselves broke the Steam terms of service.
Yep.
That's the, you know, that's the takeaway here. It's not that they're just delusional or trying to censor people's views or anything like that. It's just that, well,
forget to do
they
that.
Broke the rules.
Mm-hmm.
So, just,
if you can't get people to post positive reviews, you've done something wrong.
Like, I remember there was this other one in particular that Jim Sterling did of another game that he reviewed. It was another Steam game. And like I said, one of the things, not just about Jim, but Steam in general, is that it attracts all types of personalities. And the delusional and perhaps not mentally stable are one of them. And there was this one game he got from, I think, a developer somewhere in Eastern Europe. And he's going over, like, the dude's comment thread under his game in it, and it's just filled with this dude basically kind of talking to himself. So
I saw that recently. It's like, wow. That's a call for help or something. 'Cause, well, this isn't the first of this kind of story that we've seen. It's probably not going to be the last. Until Steam starts to exercise some kind of quality control, we're going to see that. So, meanwhile, over at GOG, there's all kinds of quality control. So, just saying.
So, you know, just heads up, it is possible.
Yeah, the notion that you have to make it no DRM is the thing that kind of curates it for themselves.
All right, moving on. I was talking earlier about a game that's going to completely ruin me, and that's Path of Exile is coming to the Xbox One. The only reason I never really got into this game on the PC was the control, because I'm kind of I'm kind of partial to direct control over my character in a game like this. That's going to be the case on the Xbox One version. So
So he no longer has any excuse.
Now I have no excuse, and I probably also will not have any free time whatsoever once this comes out.
I wonder if Marvel Heroes is going to be going the same route, because their most recent update, which they call their biggest update ever, essentially supposedly fixes the controller support. So it's not a mess. Just like they just literally mapped controls to the controller instead of designed it for that and simplified some of the upgrade stuff and all that. So it's not like, oh, you got 20 points to put into these various abilities. So now it's supposed to be a lot better, more streamlined, which pisses off the people that were deeply invested in all that stuff. But it's better for new people to join in. Seems like a console version should be on the way, hopefully, later this year.
I hope so, because that game looks pretty cool.
Lots of stuff to spend money on. I'm sure they would like to have more opportunities to take people's money.
Alright, moving on. Got more Street Fighter news?
Yes. As we saw with Ultra Street Fighter 2, they're planning this whole year-long celebration of the series' 30th anniversary. Word coming out now that they've penciled in a couple more surprises for E3, which you'd kind of expect. And San Diego Comic-Con, this per Yoshinori Ono himself. He's also said that Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite and Season 2 for Street Fighter V will be among the celebrations, so there's going to be quite a bit of stuff going on. I'm personally hoping for some kind of Street Fighter Alpha 2 HD remix.
The fact that he's talking Comic-Con kind of, well, if I'm reading right, if he's looking at Comic-Con as a serious place to be putting some of this stuff out, I would be looking forward to a Darkstalkers announcement.
That's true. They've talked Darkstalkers there before.
Yeah. Yeah. Whether we get, Alpha 2 HD, could go along with that, you know.
What do you think the E3 one's going to be?
That's a good question. So, I mean, we've got
Street Fighter V Complete Edition.
Well, that's
it. I think they're going to settle into something resembling that sooner than later.
Yeah, because if you tried to buy Street Fighter V right now, it's kind of stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think what they're going to end up doing is settling into a situation where there will always be a $60 package where you can buy everything except the season that's currently going.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then every time the season rotates, they'll release a new one on there. It's what they're going to have to do to keep the game relevant as time goes by, just because they don't want to have the entry level point relying on what is already a 1 year old product.
Yeah.
And is going to be probably on whatever the first iteration of PS4's greatest hits is going to be.
Yeah.
I think they've got to release new packages probably on an annual basis.
Yeah.
That otherwise catches people up.
Yeah. That'd be interesting.
I don't think they'd include the currently releasing season in such a package, but everything up to that point.
Yeah, that would make sense.
And I think we're going to start seeing it around the time, or toward actual Capcom Cup time. I think we're going to hear something about it.
Yeah,
we're still a long ways off, but
yeah. End of this year probably is. Will be.
Yeah.
And by then, we'll have season two. We'll probably have wrapped up, so.
Yeah, and then season three might be starting. Yeah, they'll be showing the first rumblings of season three, and then they'll release probably a $60 package of Street Fighter V with all the season one and two content.
Yeah.
I think that's what they're going to have to do.
Yeah. As for E3, well, I don't know. They could announce the Blu-ray edition of the Street Fighter movie again. No, let's not do that. No.
I would say I'm hoping Alpha 2 HD Remix is somewhere in there. I also think
Third you Strike could needs a lot to go of... to the PS4. It's still relevant. It's still being played competitively. Absolutely. It needs to be on the PS4.
And I think there would have to be like two versions selectable. Pure straight up arcade Street Fighter 3 Third Strike. Because we still don't have an arcade perfect version on console. It just has never happened. And
not close, but
yeah. And we need a fine tuned version. It doesn't have to have sweeping changes throughout the whole roster. There may be two or three characters that you would nerf.
Chun-Li.
5 to 7 characters that you would buff. And just really simple nerfs and buffs, too. Nothing spectacular would have to be done. And then you let it ride.
Yeah.
And I think that alone would breathe new life into the game.
Wait and see. Me, personally, I'm just kind of hoping for a complete anthology of some kind. I'd like to have Street Fighter 1 and all of the various versions of Street Fighter 2 and 3 and, well, 4 I don't really care too much about, but at least the first three games.
4's already well represented.
Yeah.
Street Fighter the Ultimate Collection.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't worry about 4 or 5 because they're already well represented, but all of the content, at least from Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter Alpha, and Street Fighter 3.
Yeah, and you can throw Street Fighter 1 in there.
You could probably play that thing on the side of a toaster oven at this point.
Actually, really want to play Street Fighter 1 with what's available today.
No, but it's just for completeness' sakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a MAME ROM set. It's not going to be hard to put on the PS4. So.
It's true.
So, yeah, we'll look forward to more of that in the upcoming weeks and months to come, which is what upcoming means.
Mm. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah, so Dissidia news.
Yeah, I would have lost that bet.
Yeah.
but I think a lot of us would have.
Yeah.
I figured that they were going to have Noctis ready day and date for the release of Final Fantasy 15. Mm-hmm. That did not happen.
Nope.
And now, amid rumors that the game might be ready for Japan on console in March, we have another character reveal, and we got Kuja.
Who is not Noctis.
No. Was not Noctis, and not even a Final Fantasy 15 character at all, so going way off the board, at least for the timetable we're working on.
Yeah,
actually surprised he hadn't shown up before at this point.
They've still got a lot of time release characters to reveal, and I think we're going to start seeing them come to a larger clip as we apparently start looking toward a console release. Not sure if the March if the March rumor is going to hold up, but it would be nice. I think once we start seeing character unlocks start happening maybe on a weekly basis, that's a good sign that the console release is coming up.
Yeah.
And this is a game that's been that has been running on a PS4 since 2005. So,
yeah.
Or not 2015.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. I'm tired. It's been running on a PS4 since 2015, and there's video of it on their official channel.
Yeah.
So, it's got to happen soon.
Yeah. PS4 isn't a bad platform for an arcade system, by the way. Just
putting
that out there.
I think if they got it working properly online, it could be pretty huge.
Hmm.
Once it got to console. Just the whole 3-on-3 thing that it's got going.
Yeah.
I know I'd want to find regular people to team up with and just try to attack the leaderboards.
Yeah.
That would be quite a bit of fun.
Yeah, and it also looks like, you know, it's the perfect esports game, because a game like that would watch so well.
It really would. Hopefully that's in the cards.
Yeah.
Team Ninja is doing a lot of really good stuff with it.
Yeah.
And I'm almost wondering if that should be my next roster prediction video.
Mm.
If there'd be any interest in me doing that.
Yeah. May as well.
I'll consider it.
Yeah,
I've got a lot of ideas on the table. I just kind of wanting to wait to do a whole lot of stuff with new videos until my RAM situation gets cleared up.
Yeah, because you're sitting there with 2 gigs right now.
Oh, they're 4 gigs, but they aren't operating correctly because I haven't identified the faulty one.
Oh, okay. So you could crash at any minute.
Yeah, I really could.
That's awesome.
I'm running this computer really light at the moment. Great. But, yeah, I've got the replacement RAM is on the way, and, yeah. I'll have a lot of lost time to make up for once it gets here.
Yeah. So.
Well, on the plus side, the computer will be running better than ever.
Yeah. We've got that going for us. Hmm. Yeah, so Atlas is in the news again, isn't they? Aren't they?
Yes. Didn't see this one coming either.
No.
It's kind of weird that they're not going to try and find a way to start the series over here from the beginning. But they have licensed a pair of Utawareru Mono titles, Mask of Deception and Mask of Truth, presumably for this year.
Mm.
Let me see if it says that for certain.
I think one is in the spring, one is in the fall.
Yeah. So, it's just a another nice addition to an already very prosperous 8th gen RPG environment. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to see it finding its way west.
Yeah. So speaking of RPGs, we talked last week about Project Octopath. We now know who's behind that, and that's the Bravely Default folks.
Now known as Square Enix Asano Team.
Yeah.
I love this for a lot of reasons. But the biggest reason is that it frees up Tokyo RPG Factory to be working on something else at the same time.
Yeah.
And it really tips the hand as to what Yosuke Matsuda has in mind for this company as we move into the post-Final Fantasy XV era.
Yeah.
So, a few things need to happen before I can really take inventory of some predictions that I made last year. But it's looking really good right now. And I just can't wait to get hold of this game in particular. That's something that I shouldn't really understate in the midst of all this, because it looks fantastic. The more I watch the more I watch those trailers, the more I need this game in my life.
Yeah. That damn Switch, it's going to have games that you actually want to play on it. And
that library of RPGs already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who saw that coming?
You know, Nintendo, apparently.
Yep.
It's not just that Nintendo apparently saw it coming, it's that they particularly saw fit to invest in it. Like, these are games that they wanted on their platform, and that gives me a good bit of confidence going into the launch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good news for RPG fans, then. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
More on that in a minute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a block of Nintendo stories here, which we'll get into. First one being that Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild for Wii U will be the last Wii U game that Nintendo produces. I don't think anybody is surprised by this.
Yeah.
Nope.
That was to be the case from minute one.
Yeah.
With the... with Kimishima at the head of Nintendo and him not being a fan, it doesn't really make sense to keep supporting the Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
If it had more of an installed base, it would be another story, but well enough to pull the plug now. It got 5 holiday seasons on store shelves, so that even with a shorter lifespan than average, you can't say that it didn't have its chances.
Yeah. So, yeah, had plenty of opportunity and just couldn't get a foothold. So,
there's a really sick part of me that just wants to put a wah wah trumpet at the end of this.
No, won't do that. So,
just do a new Super Mario Brothers wah. Wah, wah.
Yeah, I hate that, by the way. Just point that out.
You don't like your platformers being musicals?
Not really. Nope. Unless they're supposed to be. It's just, I just don't like random wahs in the music for no reason whatsoever. Now we have Fire Emblem news.
All of the Fire Emblems.
Yeah, all of the Fire Emblems. And we'll start
You get a Fire Emblem, and you get a Fire Emblem.
Basically, that's kind of how that worked out, yeah. We'll start with the first one coming out, which will be Fire Emblem Heroes, coming out on mobile in a couple of weeks, actually.
Yeah, before Super Mario Run on Android.
Yeah, which is weird, but okay. This looks kind of annoying.
Yeah.
What was the Final Fantasy game where they just have a ton of the Final Fantasy heroes in it?
Record Keeper.
Yeah,
that's what this kind of seems like.
Hmm.
Well, to be fair, Record Keeper had me glued for way longer than it should have, so this will probably be a success, too.
Yeah, what bothers me is like they've really gimped the Fire Emblem here.
Yeah.
This is a... typically Fire Emblem maps are quite large. Nope, that's not happening here. You got an 8x6 grid, which is, was pointed out, smaller than a chessboard.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not sure how well that's going to go.
Yeah, that kind of comes with not having any face buttons to sort of control a game with.
Well, you do have every device that this game is going to be running on has a touchscreen, so scrolling is not a problem. But Nintendo wanted it all on one screen for some.
Not her DNA did.
Well, somebody did.
Yeah, there is a character popularity poll going on right now to see who's going to pop up in the game. Anyone who knows me can guess what my ballot looks like right now.
No, I'm sorry.
I apologize for nothing.
So, yeah, I'll guess Tanya.
Tanya.
Whatever. But yeah, so that's Heroes. We're going to see that, when is it? Oh yeah, February 2nd, which is my birthday.
Yeah, that's next week.
Yeah. Download it, try it out, see what it's like. It's going to be free to play, going to have lots of microtransactions. Lots of microtransactions.
All of the microtransactions.
Yeah.
So many microtransactions.
Yeah. It's going to make
us. If that's not your thing, wait a few months.
Yeah.
Because they showed a weird way of unlocking the different characters to, like, Eddie or Stuck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is sort of like this, you get these, like, pearls, I guess.
Yeah, the orbs.
And you spend those, and then they show you, like, five possible choices.
Mm-hmm.
They're just, like, associated with different, like, I don't know, it was like a fire group. It's like, oh, what person I want is in that group, so I'll take that one.
Mm-hmm.
And you see if you actually get the one.
Yeah, the one that you want. And if you don't, then you have, then you can re-roll again for one orb less, and then they just want you to keep doing it over and over again.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not going to get old really quickly.
It's a game within a game.
Yeah. But if that's not for you, well, May 18th, you'll have Fire Emblem Echoes, Shadows of Valentia for the 3DS, which will be a proper Fire Emblem game.
It is actually a remake of Fire Emblem Gaiden.
And this is interesting. Like, I knew that once Awakening came out and more or less perfected the formula, I knew the remakes were coming.
Yep.
I did not think they were going to start with Gaiden.
Well, isn't that the one up until the one that came out on GameCube, that was like the one that was closest to releasing over here, wasn't it?
It might have been.
Yeah.
I still thought they were going to start with Mystery of the Emblem and Genealogy of the Holy War.
Yeah. But
yeah, the difference between this and the regular game seems to be just that there's a little bit of dungeon crawling.
Yeah.
Like, it still has all the turn-based battles you expect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can just sort of run dungeons.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get to them.
Yeah. At least there's life there, so yeah.
Yeah.
That's good to
sign. That being said, if the remakes of Mystery of the Emblem and Genealogy of the Holy War were ended up on the Switch, I would have no complaints with that whatsoever.
Nope. Yeah, but they're on the 3DS.
If not getting them on the 3DS now means that they show up on the Switch later,
yeah,
I'm all for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of the 3DS, if you're looking to buy one right now, good luck.
Apparently.
Yeah. I tried recently. It's near on impossible. So I'm not sure what's going on there, but whatever. Next we got Fire Emblem Warriors, which we talked about last week extensively. Yeah.
Actually showed gameplay this time, so it actually looks like what you expect.
Yeah, it's a Musou game.
Yeah.
We know what this
is. So they announced a new 3DS version, which they're avoiding the problem they had with Hyrule Warriors, which they said it's playable in the original, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
Had huge problems.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think the biggest news of that announcement was a Fire Emblem title being developed for the Switch coming out in 2018.
Next year.
Which makes Fire Emblem Warriors okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 10th anniversary of the last one on console.
Yeah. So, that was 2008, wasn't it, when that one came out?
Yep.
be Radiant Dawn for the Wii.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so that was lots of Fire Emblem. At least we got some details, and you know, Nintendo is not abandoning the series, not by a long shot.
Oh, yeah, in fact,
they're waking up to the fact that there's a global audience for it.
Yeah, yeah, they're finally recognizing that you know, it's a marketable franchise here in the U.S. and not just you know, a niche title anymore.
Yep.
Yeah, and they announced two more amiibos for Fire Emblem Echoes. So the two main characters are not going to be amiibo.
Yeah,
status quo.
Which I'm sure they'll make about 50 of those and sell out immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Echoes with all the other Fire Emblem amiibo we have already.
Yeah. And to think, all of this came about because they accidentally forgot to remove the two Fire Emblem characters when they were porting Melee over here.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize that. The reason that Marth and Roy ended up in Melee was because they were originally supposed to put different characters in there because they were only supposed to be for the Japanese version.
Yeah.
And they just said, screw it.
Yeah. So it's like, ah, we don't got time.
One of the best decisions they ever made.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now we got a few little Switch stories here. Binding of Isaac is going to be a retail. Well, yeah. Binding of Isaac Afterbirth is going to be a retail digital release for the Nintendo Switch at launch.
Yeah. Yeah,
that brings the total up to 6 launch games.
Yeah. Well, there's a bunch of other smaller indie games that are going to be not around then. So. Yeah.
So. Weird.
Yeah, along with that,
they're not day one. They're not launch.
I think there's going to be a few that are day one.
Yeah.
But yeah, along with this, Nicalis teased by posting a picture of the Switch itself. Their dev Switch with 1001 Spikes and Cave Story. A little home.
If they don't have 90s Arcade Racer running on that thing, I don't give a fuck.
Well, at this point, I don't think they have 90s Arcade Racer running on anything. Just saying. Yeah. But,
yeah. Is it safe to call it vaporware at this point?
I'm pretty sure it's dead at this point.
Yeah.
So, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, this is going to be $40 for that one.
Yeah, $40
seems like
for
a fitting
one.
Price.
Yeah. Questionably, the price of Super Bomberman R is $60.
$50.
Yeah.
Yep. $49.99.
It's reasonable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'll probably get $50 worth of fun out of that for sure.
I expected 60, honestly.
Yeah.
I didn't think anything that was on a cartridge at launch was going to be a penny under 60. That's a break.
Yeah. Isn't there a split pricing model going here with physical and digital? Because I seem to recall that some of the digital games are actually less than they are physically.
I think it's just Puyo Puyo.
Hmm.
Puyo Puyo announced a difference because I think because they're not offering it digital on PS4, they price it the same as the retail version as digital is on Nintendo Switch. It's complicated because the Tetris Company's license is always complicated everything.
Yeah.
And finally, no video streaming apps available on the Switch at launch, and I don't think anybody cares.
I see no issues with that whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I looked at my setup, and it's like, got 6-7 consoles I could stream from, not counting my phone, my computer, my 3DS.
Yeah.
I don't need any more.
Nope. Yeah, just keep the Switch... You know, playing games for now, and
bring them in later.
Yeah, bring them in later, just when you can. Yeah, because it's not like porting Netflix to the Switch is going to be hard. It's it's easy.
I'm sure if it's got a web browser on it, then problem solved anyway.
I don't think
browser.
It does.
Nope.
Yeah.
Use your phone. Your second Switch app.
I don't see that causing much indigestion either. But wow.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's really stripped back as far as features go.
You want games? Here's the games.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't mind that.
Yeah. And it'll still eat your battery in 2 hours.
Yeah.
It's like
I'm sure the companies are already lined up to make battery cases for it.
Oh, I'm waiting for the battery backpack.
I don't think anyone's going to make that, but...
Oh, somebody'll do it.
I thought you made like an official third-party release or something. No, some crazy bastard will make a battery backpack of their own.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a given.
Yeah. You can put your Switch in there, and you've got, oh, I don't know, 4 or 5 days worth of power to go along with it.
And no, I thought you meant like Mad Catz or PDP was going to come out with
it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that wouldn't actually be that bad of an idea.
It's really true.
Of course, if you do it effectively, you could actually just, it wouldn't need to be a backpack. It could just be a fanny pack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, lots of opportunities for accessory makers, because Nintendo's own accessories are so stupidly overpriced.
It's true.
Yeah. Wondering.
Yeah, I think somebody's making a way to charge the tablet when it's in tablet mode.
Yeah.
The little connectors on the bottom.
Yeah,
that's one of the worst decisions they could have made for the design.
Yeah, well, it's a
easily solved, but
yeah, well, it's a USB-C
port
on the bottom of that. So weird. It's not, at least that port is not proprietary, so easy for people to do.
There'll be options.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, the third-party docks, when those start to come out, will probably be just as good as Nintendo's and probably cost a third of the price.
Yep.
Seriously, Nintendo? $90 for an HDMI and USB-C pass-through device? And on that disappointment, I think we'll end the show for this week.
Yeah.
As usual, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, TuneIn, Google Play, or just your favorite podcatcher of choice.
Mm-hmm.
Check us out at smashpad.com. We're also on Facebook. So, yeah, give us a look there. So until next week, I'm Filippo Dinolfo.
I'm Patrick Methlin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Chris Sologi.
Have a good one.